This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Doxcast. We're breaking format. Your usual kickoff host, Josh Trumbo, is not on this episode, so I'm going to screw it all up. But I'm here with the ever classic Brad Meixner. How's it going, Brad?
That's me. I'm doing pretty good, Rich. How are you?
I'm very good, and I'm excited about this podcast, Brad. It's going to be fun. Are you ready to waterboard someone on live Facebook?
Yeah, I think we can do this.
All right.
My president allows it.
Yeah. So we are here with brand new Paradox comic specialist Colin Anderson. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
You know, one thing I forgot to tell you is we used to have this bit where the first time you say anything on the podcast, that's your catchphrase. And then every time you come on, you have to say the same thing. So if you want a chance to redo it, you definitely can. Brad's the only one who, like, sticks with his, I think. So
it's called dedication. Nobody else has it.
Yeah. 230 episodes and still going. So, but, yeah, if you want a chance to mull it over and come up with one, that's perfect. So
I'll try to think of something.
So, Colin, you know, the connection here is that we just recently hired Colin, but there's a story behind that. Colin, how long did you try to get a job here?
About 6 years.
That is typical for the application process at Paradox, as Brad can probably tell you. Like, mostly because we
there's an application process.
Yeah, mostly because we lose the applications.
Oh, yeah,
and,
well,
you know.
I was gonna say I didn't even fill one out.
Yeah,
you're just like, can I work here? Yeah. Like, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, and he kept saying it, and he kept saying it, and he kept saying it. So one day we were just annoyed, and we're like, fine, just work here. So, yeah, like, when did you first start walking in Paradox? Were you, like, looking for a job immediately, or had you been shopping here for a while already?
No, the very first time that I came to Paradox?
Yeah, like, okay. Two questions.
Okay.
How did you find Docs, and how soon after that did you start begging for a job?
Well, it was my sophomore year of college. And a friend of mine was like, hey, let's go to the comic book shop. And I didn't even know those existed. Because I'm from a small town, and all we had were, like, the rotating racks in the grocery store. And they got rid of those pretty quickly. But, yeah, a friend of mine suggested that we go here, and I really liked it. And it was close to campus, so I started asking kind of immediately if I could get a job so I could work through college. And you guys said no.
Yeah.
Who said no? Me or
I think it was either John or Alex. Just like it was just like a you guys were fully staffed at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the thing about Docs and, you know, employment history is like it tends to be you do have to kind of earn it because you effectively almost always have to be like a friend, you know, or a family member or like someone that just started hanging out behind the counter and wouldn't go away, you know, things like that. I mean, that's sort of the Brad Meixner story.
That really does describe, yeah, all of your employees.
So, whereas, you know, Brad, I mean, you started coming here. I mean, this is way back in the 90s because you and I are old, but.
Yes, we are.
I'm older than you, but still.
A lot older than us.
You know, so you've told this before, but just for Colin's sake, your first time to Docs, and when and how did you actually start working here? I'm a little blank on that. You might know better than me.
My first time at Docs was probably 1994. You were on the main level, which is currently the Comics Cave. That was your only space, and the only purchase that sticks out in my mind coming here to make was like X-Men Fleer 1994. I think I got a box from you guys at the time, and started working here. I don't know, 99-ish. And I think I was more like a therapy dog for John at the time. You're just like, John likes you, we'll hire you.
Yeah, had you left for college and come back? And then because you worked at Granite City's shop, but I don't know that you
that
worked
was just
here
my
first.
Last year. That was my last year. That was my senior year. I definitely had worked for you before.
Okay.
And I was maybe one of the first times was like my first year at college. I helped you guys at Thunderbird since, you know, as a customer.
Yep.
I just
yep.
was in the area enough.
Oh, Colin, just you wait till I have you lugging comic boxes to conventions. So you're gonna get broken in or just broken,
just,
one or the
just
other.
Say you work that weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a different time. Wow. Thinking X-Men Fleer 1994, like, I remember that was one of the first things we ever ordered, like, multiple cases of, and we were terrified, because at the time, like, we were basically having to borrow money every week just to pay our diamond invoices, let alone, you know, order this big shipment of cards, you know? It was crazy times back then, so.
These were non-gaming cards as well.
Yeah. Brad, I'll ask you first. Why did you want to work at a comic book shop?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think it was more because I was here enough. I enjoyed the medium. It felt like a cool environment. I don't know if I had these grand schemes in my head of, this is how I'm going to get rich as a kid. I'm like, this will be my job. I'm going to retire out of being at a comic shop. I'm going to, have a nest egg of, like, $3 million because comics is nothing but cash. So I really don't know what my logic was back then other than, liked the merchandise. So why not be part of it?
Yeah, and that's similar with me. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think about the future. I didn't think about a paycheck. I didn't think about anything. I just, I thought comics were awesome. And kind of for me, everything else in my life had fallen apart. And so I dropped out of college and went to the only thing that I felt good being a part of. So, so Colin, how about you? Like 6 years ago, you're like, I really want to work here. Like what? Why? Why? And why for 6 years? Hit me.
Well, it started out just because, I was a college kid and I wanted a part-time job and it was close enough to campus where I could walk. And just like Brad, I appreciated the medium. Superhero movies were just starting to become a really big thing. So that was also kind of a gateway into it. And then just over the years, as I've developed a box and have changed out titles, gotten new ones, it's just I've grown to have a fuller appreciation of comics.
Sure. And go back further than that. So, you found a comic shop eventually, but like, when did you start reading comics? Like, what was your first comic that you can remember?
That is a very tough question. Like I said, small town, we didn't really have a comic shop. But I would buy those Marvel or DC select figures that would come with like a comic in the back. And one of the first ones I remember getting was, a Doomsday from DC, and it came with a copy of one of the Death of Superman issues.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I remember that's one of the things that really got me into it as a kid, superheroes, and then also with the animated series of Superman and Batman.
Sure. But now, so you start off with superheroes, and that's Darren's kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Darren has some really goofy stories. Like, knowing Darren now and learning what he started reading to begin with, it's just crazy to me, But, like, so mostly what do you read today?
I'm mostly a lot of, like, Image books. I read a lot of, a lot more, like, indie things than I do superhero things.
Well, give me some titles you're into right now.
You Stole My Pick of the Week.
I did.
I was going to go Gideon Falls. Pretty much anything Jeff Lemire is fantastic to me. Saga is a big one that I really like. Coda has been my pick lately also. It's a new one. Let me try and think about that.
Yeah. And I'm forcing you to read other comics.
Yes.
Whether you like
it
or not.
You're making me widen my horizons.
Yeah. Well, I put you on reading Fresh Start books from Marvel. So what have you read there and what stood out to you?
There I've read the first two Avengers, the Black Panther, Deadpool, and then Thor.
Black Panther, we had a really good conversation about, we knew the premise was Black Panther in space, but tell us about that book and your reaction to it.
It doesn't feel like a Marvel book. It doesn't feel like a superhero book. You and I both like agreed that it seems more like an indie story. It feels like an Image book with Black Panther in it. It doesn't seem like it's attached to the Marvel universe at all, which is pretty cool.
Brad, you've read anything and everything for your entire history, basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah, as soon as I was a deep enough customer that you showed me my first, I don't even think it was Diamond at the time. It was like Star, like some other system way back when you were like, oh, they put out stuff other than like Marvel, Image, and DC books, mm-hmm. and just diving through that month after month when I was, you know, had my first job is probably somewhere between, you know, 16 and 18, and I was just like, these books sound amazing. Why aren't more people reading them? Why aren't they more widespread?
Well, yeah, and it was probably for a while we got comics from a guy out of Winnipeg, Styx International. So I wonder if it wasn't his catalog or something like that. So the first account we ever opened was with Diamond Comics in 1993. I guess we picked the right distributor, as it turned out. But what do you like right now, Brian? I know you're not reading as many monthlies or anything, but like, give me some taste for what's coming out you're enjoying.
What is?
Even if it's just by looking at the covers and petting them.
Some of the stuff is more like right now, since I'm not being, I don't read as current as I could. The Avengers does intrigue me, but that's because it's Ed McGuinness art. I enjoy McGuinness's art. What else has been pulling my attention? Oh, I'm really bad.
Yeah, I was going to say Blank Air with Brad. Thank you.
Dead
yeah.
Air.
Exciting. So, here's my question. This is where I'm going. Sure. So over the years, you've been a fan of things. When you were working here, or when you were working at Granite, you know what? And Brad still does work here occasionally. I recruit him for big events. But did you have a technique? Like, if someone walked in the door and said, like, "Hey, you know, I want to read something," you know, where did you start? What did you do?
Like, to me, it was always trying to find out them. Because it's like, yeah, I think especially now with just the way media is, like the three of us could sit down and each write down the top four things on our Netflix queue. They wouldn't match. And even if I'm like, you should watch this show, it's great. You're like, I got so many other things to get through that I don't have time for your show, whether it is great or not. And I think we've hit that point with comics too, where it's become the people that enjoy them are adamant fans and they love them, but it's so hard to get that spread to other people. And that's why it's like, I had to take, you know, with the customers, you had to take like, what do you want? You know, what movies do you enjoy at the time before comic, you know, especially before superhero movies exploded. I'm like, what movies are you liking? You know, you're trying to find out, do you want action? Do you want romance? Do you want just situational drama? What are you trying to get to? You know, yes, I'd probably point them more often than not towards superheroes, because that was the late 90s, early 2000s, the predominant thing you could put your hand on, you know. And then you always had those people that like had heard about things and would come in and ask for them by name. And as soon as you had a baseline for what they were after, you know, like if they had just stumbled across Lone Wolf and Cub as Dark Horse was doing those reprints, the single issues before they went to the omnibuses back, what was that, late 90s? You know, as soon as he had an idea of what they were after, then he could start leading them more towards other things in that genre to at least see if they wanted to stay in that. You could always recommend, you know, the big stuff, but you're, you know, you always had people that came in and was like, I don't want to read superheroes. And it's like late 90s, early 2000s, it's like, well, that's kind of the industry. Yeah. You know, I give you a Hellboy, mm-hmm. which really is, you know, he's still kind of super heroic.
I'd give anybody Hellboy.
Yeah. There's early Hellboys when they're the standalone trades where it's mm-hmm. like you could read them in any order. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as long as you figure out the four, you know, Hellboy and his three main guys from the BPRD, good. And I think comics are losing that right now. Like, you know, we don't have those definitive stories that you could put in people's hands for multiple years. It's, you know, it seems like it rotates up. Like every 5 years, we got this new hot thing that everybody wants to read for those 5 years, and then it just fades away. And I don't know how to.
You're saying there's not a Sandman or
yeah, like the number of Paper Girls and Sagas we sell. I don't feel we ever sold an equivalent number of Y's. You know, it's the same writer. I'm not saying that the you know, it definitely is the same material, but I don't feel that we sold through Why the Last Man the way that Saga in particular is definitely flying off the shelves.
Yep. Yeah, I guess, Colin, then the question to you is, you know, you've been a lot of what you've done so far is training and just kind of getting up to speed and hitting those routines, you know, and on Tuesday night we've got you loaded up with get the comics on the rack, call all the special order people, you know, have us prepped for when we walk in the morning and so on and so forth. Now I'm making you take pictures. Have you had an opportunity yet to to recommend a comic to anybody, or have you had those experiences so far where, you know, someone's asked you what to look for, or you've gone out and engaged somebody?
What exactly?
Yeah, have you?
Absolutely. Just like even this last Friday, a couple of people came in and they're like, "Hey, we've never read comics before. We've been wanting to get into them," and so I asked what they were into.
Yeah, that's like throwing them into the abyss. Like, what do you what do you do?
The first day that I met Brad here was Free Comic Book Day. That was when, like, kind of what got me the job too was you and Darren had asked me to volunteer on that day, and you set me up in the indie section based off of what I read. And so just everybody that came through, it was like all of the questions that Brad just said that you need to raise to somebody. But yeah, I've had plenty of that through the story.
How did it go on Friday? Did you sell them something, and how did you pick something out to recommend?
I just kind of like based it off of what I read, just like, hey, this is really good. This is really good. Like, they were into kind of like more sci-fi, not really super fantasy stuff. So I pointed out some books that I liked that were based off of that. And then they found something that they wanted. It was a single issue that was new that week. And so I just set it aside for them.
Yeah, it is weird, you know, like sci-fi comics don't have a great history, to be honest. Like, DC launched a line in the 90s that Helix that died, because I love sci-fi comics, you know, and I grew up, I read Star Wars comics and Battlestar Galactica comics and Micronauts comics and any sci-fi I could get my hands on. But right now at Image, it feels like it's like this fantasy overwhelming, like everybody's putting out a fantasy world comic right now. Like, it's crazy.
Not that they're bad.
No, I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting that that's this trend of books is these different fantasy worlds. And the one problem I'm having with them is that I'm having trouble finding one that stands out to me as unique enough to be the one that I want to follow or to be the definitive one. I don't know if that makes sense, because I know you like a book more than I do right now. But, you know, how about you on those?
Well, Image, I think their standout sci-fi book would be Descender right now.
Yeah.
And is that's the book that you're referencing?
No, fantasy-wise.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fantasy from
You love
Image
Isola, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's still pretty early on in the run, but I really like that one, yeah.
I mean, the book is beautiful. We've interviewed Brendan Fletcher, so that was a lot of fun. So on a podcast, do you ever watch podcasts of ours?
I've seen snippets of them.
Snippets. That means no.
Essentially,
it was a polite way of saying.
I'm aware that that's a thing that happens. Yeah. So, I don't know what I was going to ask. I guess like my big question between the two of you is. A guy with 20 years of a comic experience and a guy with about 20 days, like, Brad, grill this man. Like, can you scare him? Like, can you
please
warn
don't.
Him off? Or, you know, is there any advice you would give?
The only advice, I mean, you got to have – the best thing that I could say is try to, like, have in your back pocket, like, five – complete stories that you can get a person. Like, to me, to this day, like, Bone, the complete collected version of Bone is one of the best things I think you could ever give somebody to try and get. Like, the story is engaging, the characters are, to me, well fleshed out, and it's a complete story, so it's done. Like, the thing that I think terrifies, you know, so many people is, like, we're 1,001 issues into Action Comics now. It's like, where do I start? Well, you can start at the point where he was just jumping tall buildings and he couldn't fly yet, and then be like, what? I think, yeah, they've only changed Superman's powers like, what, four times trying to clean it up, and that gets confusing to people. But having those five trades that you enjoy that are like complete stories, like Pride of Baghdad would be another one, or it's just something you can give to somebody It's complete, and it's like, if they liked it, they'll come back and be like, okay, do you like that writer, or do you like that genre? Rather than like, here's trade one, come back for the next seven, and then you'll get your payoff, and then we'll know if you like this. You know, is Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run maybe the same thing? Because you can go with so many of the customers that come in, like you, like me, they have the knowledge of the movies, and then also X-Men 92, the animated series, and then the Batman animated series, and maybe to a lesser extent, the Superman stuff, like, or Spider-Man. They know those. So it's like, that's given them enough character basis. So if you can stick with that core team of X-Men, it's like, do you remember that? Did you enjoy that? Here. You know, Batman. I thought, to me, Batman animated series might be the best superhero animated series that's ever existed, just because of the way it was handled. And if they enjoyed that, you can lead them towards Batman books. But then you still have the people that are coming in, and they're just like, I don't want to read superheroes. And you'd be like, okay. You know, it's like, what do you enjoy? And it's, I don't know where to point those people. You got to give them something. And that I think will be your greatest struggle, is coming across these customers that's like, you know, you recommend two things. They come back and be like, yeah, I didn't enjoy those. And then it's like, well, okay, you kicked me out of my own wheelhouse. What do I do now? So having as much knowledge as you can, even if it's cursory, of other things, I think will help you guide customers to what they ultimately want.
Yeah, and I mean, I think something, you know, Brad has notoriously made fun of me over the years for is that I hate Marvel, which is not true, but, you know.
You did work for Lantern, so.
Yeah. but the fact is, at the end of the day, Marvel Comics drives the entire industry. Like, even if it's controversially so, you know, even if it's when their sales are down, they're still the thing that everybody's talking about. So, like,
Maybe Batman, then you can throw in the rest of Marvel. Because Batman seems to be dominating since New 52, at least.
Sure.
But
you have to know what's going on at Marvel Comics. Like, you have to know what's going on at DC Comics, because, you know, 7 to 8 out of 10 of the people who come in the door, that's what they want to buy, because it's what they know.
Movies.
And from movies, TV shows, video games, comics when they were a kid, doesn't matter, you know. And so, like, if you work here, I can't encourage enough. You've got to read Marvel. And I mean, you know, I hope you find a book or two that you actually like, you know, that you're invested in, and not just, I don't want to force you to read Deadpool every month when, you know.
Dear God, please don't.
Yeah, no, and I was disappointed. Like, I was really looking forward to Scotty Young having a take on Deadpool, and I didn't think much of that comic. I don't know about you, but.
No, I mean.
Better not interview him anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an interesting enough setup, like, to where the story's going to go, but it's just not a character I can jive with.
Scotty Young walked right by us at Chicago Comic Con.
That's because he knew you were snobbing.
He was on his phone, so if he hadn't been on his phone,
he was just faking it.
He couldn't even. Yeah, exactly. So. What do you think of the Avengers? Are you going to read number 3 for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll bring that one home. I mean, the story reminded me a lot of the No Justice story. At first,
sure.
But it was a lot. It was more tightly written than that was.
Sure, yeah. No Justice was rough. Sorry, Scott Snyder, Josh Williamson and company, but that was like, we don't have anything coming out in May, so somebody throw something together. You know, like oofta.
Francis Manapul's art in that was outstanding.
Yes, it was. Yep. End of story.
That might be the other thing you'll notice the longer you're selling comics, is the cyclical nature of the self-contained universes. Like, how many times can Professor X leave the team in someone else's hands? How many times can you reform the Avengers? How many times does some earth-shattering event cause the Justice League to get back together? How many things can go wrong in Gotham where Batman, can't you clean your city up, man? It's one city. You don't even have a country, you have a city. Things just keep going wrong, Batman. What are you doing?
And that's one of the things that, like, pulls me more towards indie stuff, is that it's not as cyclical.
You don't have the history.
Right. It's its own self-contained thing.
Even when Saga is finished, it's contained. It doesn't have, unless, you know, the little walrus, the little seal boy gets his own spinoff.
God, I hope he does now.
It's self-contained, which I think that's something that helps the industry, but it also hurts it because it's just like you're not building that greater narrative.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's two things to that. I mean, I do think your two best consistent selling comics of the last 7 years are Saga and Batman, and I mean by Batman, I mean the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo run, and both of those exist in their own bubble. That Batman series, that never had to cross over with anything else. They had stuff cross over with it, but that doesn't matter. You know, like you could read 1 through 52, and it was always the vision of those two creators rather than them being co-opted and thrown into the mix for some other storyline. So, you know, I do think that consistency is huge, and we're seeing that that's exactly what people want. Even the current Josh Williamson run on The Flash, like I've gone back and forth on him, but since issue one, and he's coming up on issue 50, that has been one cohesive story arc that started to pay off what was set up in the first issue in issue 35, and by issue 45 was paying off long-standing Flash history, and it was awesome. You know, that's great. Even I mean, I'll tolerate like kind of. We should not say bad things about creators on this thing. Like these episodes may end up being, you know, we just don't know, right? But like Williamson's doing a really good job. It's very workmanlike, you know. He puts those characters through their paces, and he's developed his own really cool mythology. So not only has he got a good TV show, which probably drives the fact that people want to buy it, but like they come back because it kind of matters, you know. It feels like the next issue is relevant rather than just like another phoned-in comic that you pick up a lot of the time. And I don't know. That's we talk about this a lot with like the Marvels and the DCs about how like when you try to publish like 80 comics a month, right? Like there's no way you're publishing 80 good comics a month. Like no offense to anybody making them, but that makes it really hard. So did you ever have a big flirtation with Marvel, or did you just, you know, like a lot of people go through different eras of their lives. So was there any point when you did pick up a lot of Marvel comics or?
Not really. I mean, when I first started getting into comics, like as a medium, like I said, that was around the time that like the Marvel movies were starting to get really big.
Sure.
And I liked the Iron Man movies. So, I got the Extremist storyline, and then I got the, Iron Man, director of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Sure.
Yep. Tony Stark, and director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Tony Stark, director
of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, yeah.
And I got that whole run, but then I just couldn't connect with it emotionally for some reason.
Yep.
So I was just turned off from those books.
Iron Man's weird. I have been around, I mean, Brad, too, for, like, more Iron Man number ones than just about any character ever. And I know, historically, I know they just don't sell. I mean, they wanted, Brad, you said this a long time ago, they wanted Iron Man to be their Mickey Mouse, like, because they didn't have a Mickey Mouse, so they wanted him to be theirs. And it's just, at least in comics, it just doesn't get there.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the staying power, even as iconic of a character as he is. There's just something inherently wrong with the character that doesn't, you know, because like how is he different than Batman, other than he's not beating up, you know, psychologically deranged people?
Well, he drinks.
Sure. Okay. So that's what's different. But that's where I get lost sometimes, where it's just like these characters are so similar, but one clicks so much with the American consciousness and American zeitgeist, and the other one's just like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is cool, you know, and they just don't care about the everything else for it.
He said a funny thing.
Yeah, he made me laugh, and he said fun V. So we just watched Iron Man 1 the other night because my future family has not watched it.
What
anyway,
is
it? Yeah.
Can you get out of this marriage? Yeah. This seems like the Titanic. Like, there's just, you can't watch enough movies to make this relationship float, Rich. Just get out.
No, well, the worst was, we were talking about Wrath of Khan the other night, and I just casually mentioned Space Seed, and Jen said, what's that? And I thought, okay.
you didn't leave her?
I gotta go, so.
This is my house, get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Brad, you know, for me, I grew up on Marvel and I really switched to DC. Brad's kind of consistently been, you know, Marvel his whole life. But I have noticed a lot of times I've seen people who, like, you know, they shift. Their tastes really kind of transferred over their lifetime. So I was just curious. So
yeah.
but you know, Brad is, it's going to be Marvel till he dies.
I just, yeah, just, I like their characters as convoluted, and I'm at the point where I've read enough and I have enough ancillary knowledge of everything else that like Marvel's incredibly screwed up timelines don't bother me. Where, you know, other people are flipping through trade paperbacks, you're like, why is the Vision completely white in this? And I'm just like, yeah, that's cool. It's the Vision. You know, it's like a costume change rather than I just don't care about the storyline. Whereas, you know, what Batman's insignia changes and the creators get to do a new, you know, it's just, I don't know. Batman, I don't think, has had his mythos messed around with as much as Marvel's alternate realities, time hopping, mm-hmm. to keep people from jumping in and out of that book.
Yeah, is that, but Colin, you do read a fair amount of DC comics.
Yeah, I get a handful in my box.
Like?
I do get Tom King's Batman, and then I've been checking out the new Justice League. It's on a break right now, but Doom Patrol was one that I was really into, because I really loved Grant Morrison's run from way back when.
Didn't that whole imprint just get canceled? Or am I making that up?
It's on hiatus.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not canceled.
I thought the whole imprint got canceled.
I think...
Maybe I'm reading something wrong.
I think I read that they're just like putting it on hold for now, and then for sure Doom Patrol is going to come back at some point, but they're not sure about the others. And then Mr. Miracle, another Tom King. And then I've been getting... You and I have kind of gotten... talked about this, where I get one, you get the other. I get the Patrick Gleason and then Tomasi Superman, whereas you were getting the Jurgens Action.
Yep. Yeah, I was in... I don't know, I love Tomasi and Gleason as a team, mm-hmm. but man, did I not get into that take on Superman. I thought, for some reason, I thought the art was real inconsistent, and then there was that point right issue after issue 25 where they like took John Kent on those history lessons. Like,
yeah, I was not fond of that.
God, they were just, I mean, I couldn't read those, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
But you made it 25 issues in, Rich. Yeah. You were invested.
Yeah, well, yeah. but, well, we don't have that anymore. Now we have Bendis. I mean, that's a whole other thing, too, is you know, the moving and shaking in the comic book industry that goes on, where the latest being a guy who was at Marvel for basically 20 years and did, like, 21st century defining stuff for Marvel Comics, you know, is now at DC trying to kick off a Superman run. And we've got 3 issues of Man of Steel so far. And I mean, what do you think so far?
I'm digging it. Like, it's not really like a lot of people were worried that it was going to be another reboot or another like reimagining of what happened to Superman, but it's just like kicking right off from what was left off before. And there have been some things that have happened in the most recent issue that are a bit shocking based off of, like, Superman's history so far.
Yep.
I've really enjoyed it.
And I don't know, again, it's the cyclical nature of comics. Like, something like that happens, but, you know, I mean, 5 years from now, it will have happened, you know, or whatever. And so, but you just enjoy the moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, and enjoy the shock of it. What I like about Man of Steel so far is you can tell what he wants to do is build the humanity of the book,
yes.
and the rest of the characters, and still have Superman do Superman things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like in the very first issue of Man of Steel, he does this really cool thing to put out a fire. But then he has these really good little moments with this new character, Melody Moore, that he just introduced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that stuff worked really well. And it was the little humanity that looked good. So.
Yeah, it's doing a really good job of just, like, focusing on the heart of the character.
Yep.
And then, I guess, the villain gets to take a back seat, which is fine. Because, I mean, if Superman gets a bit more focus on, like, who he actually is and the heart of the book, we don't care so much about Rogozar.
I listened to a good podcast with Bendis, and he was saying one of the things about Batman versus Superman, Batman's got this incredible rogues gallery of villains. Like, you know who they are, you know what they've done, you know what they, you know, and all that. And he's like, Superman's got villains, you know, they're there, right? But not in the same way that Batman's villains are there at all. And so he, Rogal Zar is him kicking off this idea, like, he wants to make Superman's villains matter. You know, he wants to make them good. I, unfortunately, so far, think Rogal Zar sucks, but his motivation is just dumb. His he just looks like a cross between a Daemonite and Doomsday, and it just does nothing for me. And I hate to say that because I'm enjoying the book, but that's by far the least interesting part of the story to me so far is the villain. So,
is he a Daemonite? Is that how they're getting the Wildstorm universe into the DC?
Yeah. Well, he's got that. Don't you agree? Doesn't he have that kind of, like, he sort of looks like Doomsday, but then I was like, he kind of looks like the leathery design or something is just like reminding me of a Daemonite for some reason. So.
Like with half of his face burnt off.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the glowing head, but still, you know, it's like the toothy, you know, the monstrous teeth and all that sort of stuff. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. So,
but I definitely do agree with you that, like, it's tough to kind of really care for this villain. But I mean, like, after this most recent issue, he's, I don't know, I felt like he was a threat.
Yep. No, he's, I actually would say, like, I feel like Bendis is, like, trying a little too hard to impose him as a threat, you know, like, oh, look, he can destroy these things and do this stuff and, you know, oh my God, how is Superman going to beat it? It's like raising the stakes on Doomsday, you know, like Doomsday was badass, but this guy's even more of a badass, you know, or, you know, I don't know. Like, I shouldn't be negative. So
we're only three issues in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And again, it's a book I like. So, imagine how I treat books I don't like. So, what's on the horizon you're looking forward to? You know, what do you think looks cool coming up?
Like, new things coming out?
Yeah.
I haven't, like, been on the lookout for anything new yet. Like, I have a pretty heavy, or not heavy box, but, I mean, I get a few titles. It's sometimes some get neglected from me already, so I haven't really been looking to add anything new yet.
And you want to be my comics fan. That's right. Come on, you got to rattle off like three things that you just know from the Marvel or DC solicitations. You know, come on, you can do it.
Not right off the top of my head right now, no. Not on the spot.
Okay, we're going to open auditions for a new comic. No.
Nice.
Do you follow creators on Twitter or Facebook or things like that?
I do, yeah.
Who do you like to follow?
I've been following Scott Snyder for the last few years since I first got into his Batman stuff. Jeff Johns. I just recently followed the creator of Headlopper. I can't quite think of his name right now. And then the artist on Coda. Also cannot think of the name at the moment. A lot of it is artists because I don't know. I really like comic art. Like, that's one of the things that helped me get into it as well. Like, I was a little kid who drew all the time. Like Andrea Sorrentino, Greg Capullo, David Finch. He doesn't really post much anymore, though. But there's plenty of creators that I follow.
Finch must be doing something else, because he's just like, either he's taking a long vacation or he's like working in the graphic design industry or something, because he's kind of vanished. So, and a lot of guys do that. I mean, they get hired to do other things besides just their comic work. So, how about you, Brad? You know of anything coming up that you're looking forward to? You follow?
I really don't. It's like, still the old school way. It's like I'll follow a couple guys, but you know, my previews, which is still only 2 months out, is the only thing I'm looking at. You know, you have, Colin, you have this unfair advantage from when I was the guy recommending comic books. It was like, all right, I know what they're putting out in Diamond 2 months from now. Whereas you have with social media and the explosion of it, you know, you can. And people self-promoting themselves so much.
Yeah.
You know, I was still at the time when Image was, you know, the main founders were still putting out their books, and that's what Image was for a majority of the late 90s and early 2000s before they went off, they spun off into their, you know, we can publish for anybody as long as we feel your content's good enough. And I think that's where the market's at right now is you... The market's so diversified we don't have that common book anymore. As much as Saga and Snyder's Batman might have been close, you know, we didn't have that book where, like, Rich was putting this book into half of every box he got back in the late 90s or early 2000s. It doesn't matter what it was. There was that book. Whereas now it's like at best a fifth of the boxes get one share one title. You know, it's just, I don't think we have that. Everybody's tastes are diversifying, which is good. But we also don't have that one thing where we can just, you know, stand by the rack and all talk about the exact same thing because not everybody's reading the exact same thing. And I think that's fragmenting the industry. And I don't know if in the long run that's going to help us with growth or if that's going to hurt us and make it more fragmented.
What do you think? That's the same with movies and TV, though? You know, isn't it just a subset of kind of where culture is at in the same way?
Sure, because we've got so much of everything, you know, like what movie can stay in the ultra screen for more than a week? None, because we have a new movie every week. So, you know, are we at the point where nobody is super because everybody is super?
Nice.
To quote some syndrome.
Yeah. Is there a movie that's recently come out?
I haven't seen it yet. Don't ruin it. Jack saves the day, doesn't he?
It was really good. I really liked it. So, but that's true. I mean, there have always been blockbusters, but it's just like, hey, remember Avengers Infinity War? You know, remember when that came out? Like, no, because, you know, then you had Deadpool, Solo, Incredibles 2, and, you know.
Yeah, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World is coming into like 400 things to watch on television, on Netflix, on YouTube.
Television?
Yeah, well,
what,
you know.
What is this?
TV channels, you know, but yeah, like.
Channels?
Yeah. Nice.
Chanel?
Apps, your TV apps.
Apps. I get apps.
Netflix,
okay.
Hulu.
I like those. Yeah. I don't have the Hulus yet. I can't afford.
But I mean, it's crazy, you know. It's just like, and that's something, I mean, I think like. We talked about this on an earlier podcast, and I've been talking about this for a few days. And like, it hit me that it's like, do you think there's any possibility that people are actually just paralyzed by choice right now? Like they don't know what to choose or where to go or what to look at because I can't watch. You know, like I love The Flash, and I tried to watch Flash, Arrow, Legends, Tomorrow, blah blah. Right, I can't do it. Right,
oh, yeah.
And so then instead of watching. All of it, I almost want to watch none of it because I can't watch Supergirl. I'll never get, you know what I mean? Or like the Marvel Netflix shows, like I'm just behind now and I don't know if I'll go back. You know, I'm not going to watch Jessica Jones 2, even though I want to watch Luke Cage 2, but I feel like I can't watch Luke Cage 2 until after I watch, you know what I mean? Like it's just this big, like, and then that's just five shows and I'm waiting for Daredevil and Punisher and blah, 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 right? I mean, it's crazy right now, Colin. I don't know what you think of all this.
Well, one thing about the shows is that a lot of them are connected, and that's probably what kind of sometimes makes people, like, scared of getting into them, you know, because it's like you watch one, you have to watch the other, you know?
Yeah. But even with the shows, like, the number of things that I will add to my Netflix page versus the number of things that I will watch off of my Netflix page are drastically inverse to each other, and it's just like, I'll get to that someday. No, I won't. I need to go, you know, you need to... I want to consume media. I want, you know, so I'm just like, I'll put it there. I would like to watch Black Lightning. So I added it to the queue. Will I ever get to it? Probably not. It took me, I just finished season 2 of Jessica Jones like 3 weeks ago. And that's been how old? It is just, there's so much stuff vying for our attention.
Comics are the same. I mean,
yep.
Comics are, you can't even turn around and remember, tell me what came out 2 weeks ago in comics that was cool, because you can't remember, you know, because like if it was like, I, you know, it was like, oh, Justice League number one was 2 weeks ago, but guess what? This week was Thor number one and Hawkman number one and blah, blah, blah. And now guess what? This week is, you know, Avengers 3 and, you know what I mean? Like, it's just nonstop. There's no... There's never been anything like this. And I think it's two things. I think like you got to keep, you know, when there's so much noise, you got to try to make your noise go over everybody else's. And so it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And there's so much money to be had that's out there that everybody wants in. And so once everybody wants in, you know, it's just a shit show, you know, where it's like, no one can keep up. So I don't know. I wonder if it's creating paralysis. Like Magic the Gathering is a great example, right? I was thinking about why is Magic attendance down everywhere in the country? Because they can play board games, they can play video games, they can, you know what I mean? Like why would I want to spend 6 or 8 hours shuffling up and playing Magic when I can't even keep up on Daredevil, the TV show, or whatever, right? Like, I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's something I've been thinking a lot about. So I'd love any deep thoughts.
From me?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we have you here.
Yeah. You're here for the deep thoughts.
That's right. Wow, the audience. Make them want to come ask you questions about comic books.
Yep.
Well,
and then we'll just tell them, don't read comic books, buy board games. It's a better investment.
Well, I don't know about, like, the relationship between those two in particular, but, like, say between, like, having a television show that you want to watch and between maybe wanting to start getting into comics. One thing that might be, you know, that might bar you from wanting to get into comics is that it's something you have to, you know, actually sit down and, like, invest yourself in.
Can't be on my phone while I'm doing it.
Right, and it's something that comes out monthly. Yep. Whereas, like, if you have a television show that you want to watch, like, you can even just have it on going on in the background. You know, you can fold your laundry while you're doing it. You can cook while you're doing it. You can be on your phone while you're doing it, you know. But with comics, you have to sit down and look at every page, look at every image, read every word to get the full thing.
Okay, so why comics, Colin? Why do you love them? And what draws you to them?
They're cool and I like the art.
But you just said a TV show had all these advantages over a comic. So why would you, if someone walked in the door and said, I don't read comics because I can, you know, I watch all these shows on Netflix. Like how would you convince them? What's your sell? Why should they buy a comic?
Well, a lot of times comics, they tell stories that aren't being told through those other mediums, you know. Just I can't quite put it into words how much I like comics, but.
Well, you're admitting to yourself that they warrant you dedicating individual time to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like
yep.
You just said, you could multitask watching any show.
But not so, while reading a comic.
Yeah, so why do comics warrant your time? What have they done? You know, why do they keep you coming back?
Why not fold laundry while you're reading a comic?
I don't know. I can't quite think of the way to answer that. It's just they're a very enjoyable medium to me. And I like the stories that are being told.
Do you like the possession of them at all? Do you like what makes them different than a TV show?
I'm not a big collector. I mean, I guess I am when it comes to, like, the hardcover collections. Like, I just finished up my set of The Absolute Preachers, and then I have, like, one more Hellboy Library Edition to get. So, I mean, that's something that's nice to have on your shelf that looks really cool and that you can brag to your friends about having.
But those also aren't the copies you want to lend out to your friends.
Well, the right friend, I would.
Okay.
Well, at the end of the day, we're sitting here, we're doing a comic podcast from a comic book shop, not a TV podcast from a TV store.
Right.
So, from a TV store? That doesn't even make sense.
Wow. A Radio Shack.
I don't even try. I'm phoning it in at this point. So, but we're pretty much at the end of the podcast. And, Brad, when you think back over your time over the years, like, can you think of customers who would come in to talk to you? Did you ever develop, like, you know, like, people wanted to know what you thought or what you wanted to tell them. I mean, you're kind of different in terms of attitude about that kind of thing, but you know what I mean.
Yes. If it happened, it doesn't stand out to me. You know, when I was with you as a part-time to a full-time employee, I had very certain days, and it's like you knew your clientele for that day. It's, you know, it's Wednesday. I'm going to get these guys in between these hours. It's Thursday. I'm going to get these guys in between these hours. And you can kind of, even if you didn't read the same stuff, you could still create a rapport, you know, give them the time, engage them. Because it's, I think, you know, that's part of our industry that's lacking is you got to get, rather than bragging about what you love, you got to get them engaged. What do they like? Because sometimes the customer overhearing somebody else talk about a book will get them more engaged than, you know, just flipping through it on the rack. So you got to have, you got to try and turn everybody into a salesman, but don't let them know that that's what they're doing, because then they'll want commission. We can't afford that. But, you know, it's like you got to engage them, get them talking about what their favorite book is. Try to get them to quantify it, because that's also how you might discover something you never would have given a chance to. Something you'll stumble across and be like, okay, this is amazing. Why am I not reading it? Why are more people not reading it? So you got to let everybody try and sell you their favorite book.
I do love when I find a comic. When I found God Country, I just literally thought, I'm the biggest idiot on the planet for not knowing this book existed. I mean, I think that is just one of the best comics I've ever read. Just absolutely love it. So,
but at least you've seen Independence Day.
That's true. But Colin, have you had anybody come back to you yet who you recommended something to?
Not directly yet.
And told you you were completely wrong. Yeah. This was horrible. I never want to read it again.
There was a guy who kind of did something like that.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Stories. You don't have to name names or the book.
Well, no. It was like when I was here for Free Comic Book Day volunteering, mm-hmm. There's a guy who came in, was kind of like looking for things, and I threw a few in his arms, and one of those was Descender, and he came back and he was buying some trades, and I asked him how he liked it, and he said, "Oh, I love the story. I hate the art."
Oh, weird. I love the art. Right? I think the story is mediocre, but
I'm misquoting. It's not that he hated the art. Yeah. He just felt that it didn't fit the story.
Sure. Wynn's art on that book is just unbelievable. Right. So
That is something that I've noticed that you come across more often is issues with art, especially as the printing style has changed over the last 30 years. Like, you had somebody V for Vendetta or Watchmen, mm-hmm. and they're like, this book is just, it feels muddy and dirty and like unfinished and blurred.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the pristine comics that you could give them from any of the Avengers, any of the X-Men, any Mr. Miracles, where it's like, all the colors are crisp. You know, it's, that's something you're going to start
glossy
fighting.
Paper.
Yeah. Something you're going to start fighting as you try to push people farther back into books is just like, they get used to this art quality. They're used to high def. We can't push them back to, all right, I'm going to put you back in this like 4x3 aspect ratio. And you'd be like, I don't want to read this, you know. Word balloons that are massive compared to the size of the art frame. And they're like, this is intimidating. Anybody trying to read old Claremont books, be like, that guy can write a lot. There's lots of words on his pages. There are certain books that people enjoy, but when you sit down and do word counts versus old comic books where the guys, I don't know if they're getting paid by the word, but they were so much wordier now, or wordier back then, and that intimidates people. They're just like, that's a lot more reading. I don't know if I have the time for it. They want that quick experience, that like 15 to 25, 30 minute experience for a single issue. They don't want that, like, I just put 55 minutes into reading one issue, and that's why I can't get through anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope bringing you in, I mean, one of my big hopes is to have a full, you know, schedule at the store where, you know, it's especially like Tuesday through Saturday, there's basically a comic guy on staff, you know, the entire time. And I really hope you're able to build those relationships. The store will grow with you, you know, if you can build those relationships. So it's
no pressure.
Hands. No That's pressure right. at all.
So. And before you go, we have a question from the audience. Darren Gregson would like to know why you love Rob Liefeld so much.
He's just the best at drawing feet.
Okay.
Like, nobody can draw a foot like that man.
All right. How many experiences have you had with Liefeld? Is this just casual glancing through the art? Darren told me that you are not a adamant fan of his artwork in any way, shape, or form. But
no,
what did you stumble across that just pushed you away from the man?
The man who created Deadpool.
Well, I guess there would be three things. Being one would be he created Deadpool.
Okay. He's laughing all the way to the bank with his cash, so he don't care about you. Next.
Nope. Another thing would be I've never read a book of his. I've never bought one. I have no experience with his writing in particular. It's just on the internet one day when I stumbled across like this list that was like the 40 worst drawings, the 40 worst Rob Liefeld drawings, and then there was another one, 40 more of the worst Rob Liefeld drawings. And it's just, oh. And then,
so you enjoy him as the butt of your joke.
Yeah, okay. I guess so. And then another thing that I saw was a Twitter row that he had with Scott Snyder, in the early days of the New 52.
Yep, I remember that.
I don't know. I don't remember exactly what happened, but, like, Rob tweeted something negative about Batman books selling despite the writer, and Scott was like, he like privately messaged him to be like, hey, I just want to make sure you're not talking about me, right? But then Rob just like posted it everywhere to be like, hey, look at this guy thinking everything's about him. It's like, whoa, dude.
Didn't Hawk and Dove fall into the Batman category? Wasn't he drawing that?
I think he was Hawk and Dove. Darren loves Liefeld, I think, and he has his moments,
but he overstayed.
Look, here's the thing about him. In so many ways, he's kind of a Stan Lee. I mean, he has created more characters than anybody. I mean, he's just created and created and created. His mind is incredible. His imagination is fantastic. His pencils suck. I mean, just, you know, like...
About 80% of the characters that he creates have blood or dead in the name.
Yeah.
So is he kind of like George Lucas then? Could those two get together and just create the ultimate character?
Kind of, yeah. You know, well, neither one of them can draw, probably. Maybe George Lucas can draw or whatever, but I don't know. But my best Rob Liefeld story is we were at the Chicago Comic Con in 1996, and Jed Brazier and I were in line to get food, and Rob Liefeld was right in front of us, actually, and he had two guys with him. I don't know if it was bodyguards or whatever. And keep in mind, it's like 96, right? So yeah. Kind of the...
This is the heyday. This
the heyday,
is
yeah,
huge
right?
At the
three,
moment.
3 years after Image formed.
Right. Maybe a couple years after the boom, but, you know, still, like... Yep. And it was a big deal to be... We're standing behind Rob Liefeld, you know? Anyway, Liefeld gets a coffee, and he turns around, he runs into Jed and spills it on him. And the best part is, doesn't say a word to Jed, just walks off, and one of his guys has to stop and apologize and buys Jed a drink or whatever we were getting. And, you know, but yeah, like Liefeld could not have cared less at all.
So. I'm surprised Liefeld didn't ask him to buy him a new drink.
Yeah, buy him a new cup of coffee, right? So. All right, everybody. So the DocsCast airs every Monday morning. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it at www.paradoxcnc.com. I am one of your regular hosts. We've done well over 225 episodes now, I think. So, and we record live on Twitch. So if you have questions when you listen to it, please feel free to ask. Like, help us share this thing. We're trying to build our audience, and we're trying to do new and exciting stuff by usually having guests. So sometimes our guests are new employees, and there you go. So, Brad or Colin, do you guys tweet, or do you want to throw out any of your info if people want to follow you, or do you not care?
I am on Twitter.
What's your handle? Come on.
At Colin P. Anderson, Colin with one L.
Yeah, I don't do the social medias. I stalk. I'm in the background maybe, but I do not post, so...
You posted once last week in consternation over Independence Day.
Yeah, I'll yell at your future wife. Yeah. That's just because she deserves to be yelled at for Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
V's an innocent. I'll give her that, but your future wife needs to be yelled at once in a while.
Yeah. Not by me, so that's good. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the next DocsCast.
This was the DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clock's cast. Until next time, geek on.